So the topic over here is the mitzvah of Shulch HaKeim. It's a fascinating Ramban. We'll go through a lot. We're going to go through a decent amount of the Ramban. The Ramban actually quotes a Rambam, so we'll try to see the Rambam as well. The Rambam is in Mor Nevuchim. And then from that it flows into the concept in general, the general concept, about the idea behind reasons for mitzvahs. Do we have a right to ascribe reasons to mitzvahs, or we have to say mitzvahs are Hashem said so, and that's all it is? Where does that fit in? And then the last two pages will be very easy because they're in English. Of course, they're Rav Hirsch, and Rav Hirsch has the advantage that even when he writes something in English, it's very difficult to figure out what he's saying.
But he never wrote it in English.
Right, but the problem is that they translated it from the German with the sentences looking like they're German sentences. So, you know, the joke about the guy who came to hear the speech and he left after an hour, the guy said, "You can't leave, they didn't get to the verb yet." So that's how German works. So now it is, I was doing Hebrew, so for 13 and 14 are out of order, so we'll get to there. Okay. So the Torah says, "Ki kare kan tzipor lefanecho." The Torah says, if a person finds a nest and he would like to take the mother sitting on the eggs or on the chicks, and he wants to take he may not take the mother with the children together. But so just before we start, I just want to tell you this a vort that I heard. The Rheingolds spent two summers in the summer vacation. We went to Square for a summer vacation. We spent 2 weeks there.
Where?
New Square, New York.
By the Square Rebbe.
Okay. So
we'll take you.
And
never been.
So one of the things which the city is outstanding in is chesed. So we found that out, which it's a known thing, but actually it's a beautiful thing they have in the city because it's a totally frum city, but there are it's an incorporated village with building code, etc. Part of building code is that they must build a sink to wash outside of the bathroom. You know, part of building code is that each house has to have a guest room. It's part of building code.
Wow.
Be able to have guests. It's, you know, you picture like Moshe, you know, how can you build a house without a guest room? Be able to have Urchim. When we arrived there, and somebody knocked on the door and gave us lunch. But the lunch lasted, there's enough food there to last for like 5 days. The problem is the next day somebody else knocked on the door and gave us, this lunch and supper. We ate out many meals. We ate out one meal by the Mashkiach for the high school. And so I was there with, you know, we waited out. I mean, I ate with his wife in the kitchen, I ate with him in the dining room. So while I was there, I asked him that, you know, we were talking about different things. And I asked him about the idea of these chesedes shevertlich. You know, how do you digest them? You know, because like they don't fit into the words. What's the pshat? What's going on over here exactly? So he answered me with chesedes shevertlich. Okay, he says, you know, anytime you have you say something, you have the actual what you said and the lesson you want to derive from it. He says, we can really look at that as the what you're saying is the aim, and the lesson is the child, because that's what's derived from the words. So the actual words are the aim, and the child is the message is, the lesson is the bonim. So, you don't like the word, send it away. But the message, you better make sure you take for yourself. That was his response. So he told me the Chernobyler says that word on this. That's what he told me. Okay. So the Ramban says, "Gamzu mitzvah muvaris." We understand this mitzvah. It's a mitzvah which is a logical mitzvah to us. Where do we find such a concept? Similar to the mitzvah, the Torah prohibits shechting the mother and the child on the same day. Both of them is to teach us to be merciful, not to be cruel. One explanation, so the idea of killing a mother and a child on the same day is something which has elements of cruelty to it. So the Torah said, no, don't do that. So you cannot take the mother and the child together and consume them. You must at least release one of them. The Torah said, you release the mother and take the children. Oh, one reason. A second reason. You cannot totally destroy and eradicate any species that Russia created in the world. We respect this, the concept of the species. So the Russia, if they were allowed to destroy the mother and the child, you're leaving nothing over to produce more. Where this is the beginnings of the process, if you can take generations, multi-generations, and destroy them, you're undermining the viability of that species. Those are the two reasons that the Ramban gives. Okay. Then he says like this. Because of Rav Moran Avukim, so the Rambam in his work, Moran Avukim, the Guide to the Perplexed, says a little bit of a different reason. Ki atam shiluch hakein, why the Torah says that shiluch hakein, and also atam oseb esperad lo sishlu b'yamechod, and the prohibition of shechting a mother and a child on the same day. We do not want you to kill the child when the mother is seeing it. The animals have pain from this. The concern that a animal species, the mother has for its child, and human species, the mother has for its child, are the same level of concern. The mother's love, and it's the fact that they have a certain concern about that which they produce, it's not a logical thought which it would only apply to humankind. But dibur, it's a level of function of thought which animals have as well. Therefore, in Cain, the Rambam says, so killing the mother, killing the child, when the mother is able to see that, would be a terrible thing. It would be pain to the mother. You may not pain the mother. Now, he says, according to that, if you shech the mother first, it should be mutter. The luck is, there's no difference whether you shech the mother first or the child first. Now, v'im kein, ein ikir ha'isr bo'yseh v'esmenoi rak b'benoi bo'yseh. The only issue is if you do the child first. We have to send according to the Rambam. The Torah said, you know, don't do anything. You know, say this case is more, this case is also. You know, that's not a safe idea. Just don't do anything at all. So the Rambam is focusing on the actual concern over here is that the mother's going to have pain. The Ramban says it's a lesson to us not to be cruel. Like I said before, so the idea of just totally eradicating the mother and the child is elements of cruelty, like I said before. Okay, now. So we've given two reasons for this mitzvah. So then it says, one second. Am I allowed to give reasons for the mitzvah? Am I really allowed to give reasons for this mitzvah or not? V'amar harav. Then the Rambam continues and he says, "Val tisma alai mimaymer chacham." Don't ask a question on me. I'm giving you this reason that the Baruch Hashem is having mercy on the pain of the mother and therefore prohibiting the act of taking the mother with the child. Because there's a Mishnah which comes up in Masechtas Megillah and Masechtas Brachos, which says the following: so the person is davening, and the person is, you know, they used to create their own tefillahs. We don't necessarily do that nowadays. We basically follow the standard nusach of tefillah, but they created their own tefillahs. So the person says, you know, I have a great tefillah. The Rebbe Shalom, in the same way you had mercy on the Kantzipur, on the mother in the situation of Shulchan Cain, you should also have mercy on us. That's what the person says. So the Mishnah says, the Lach is Meshaskim. So the person would say that, we would have to stop him and quiet him down, because that's not true. So I put in the Gemara over here. I didn't pattern the numbers, so it's only one page of Gemara. It's more than Gemara Beis in Zachus. So the Mishnah, it's a very short Mishnah. The Mishnah is bracketed off. It says, Armel Kantibar Yagir HaMelcho. The Mishnah gives three examples. We're going to focus really on the first one, but it mentions three examples. The person says in his tefillah, the same way you had mercy on the Kantibar, you should have mercy on us as well. Or he says, well, Tov Yizach HaShmecho, we should remember Hashem for the good that he does. Sounds like you only focus on Kosh Baruch Hu for good and not if he does something which you don't understand is good. Everything's from Hashem. Or Moedim, Moedim, he repeats Moedim twice. Meshaskel says, all three of the Lachas is Meshaskel, so we have to quiet him. Samur says, I understand what the problem with Moedim. Moedim, it looks like he's davening to two different gods, Chas V'Sholem. I understand only for the good, not for the bad. But what's wrong with Al Kansir Yagir Chamechos? It's back it off in the Gemara. It's in the last word of the first totally wide line. Al Kansir Yagir Chamechos, my time, what's the problem with saying Al Kansir Yagir Chamechos? So please give me a tram Amaroi, Bimarov. There was two Amaroyim in Eretz Israel, in the West, who have disagree with what's the problem over here. Rabbi Yossi Bar Oven or Rabbi Yossi Bar Zvida. So these two Rabbi Yossis argue what the problem is. Chad Omar, Mibnei Shemato Kina, but my Sibiratius, the Russian likes birds, didn't make such a prohibition by animals, didn't make such a prohibition by fish, but it means the Russian likes birds more than fish. That would be incorrect. The Russian does not give any type of precedence or preference to one type of creation over another. And the second one said, "You're saying why Kadosh Baruch Hu prohibited the Shulchan Kain, prohibited taking the mother and the child, is because the Hashem is merciful. No, we don't know if Hashem is merciful. We don't know why Hashem does something. He does it because He commanded to do it. It's a gzera. It's His command. Gzera means His command. So we have no right to say, Hashem, I know why you prohibited this. Though there, and since." It's because of mercy. Therefore, we should use that as a reason to argue if we could have rachmanis on a bird. You have rachmanis on Klal Yisrael. I don't know why Kosh Baruch Hu prohibited this. We have the right to say that. Okay. So the more it says how do nachos kamei the rabba, the more it was a person who went to daven for the omid in the presence of rabba. The more uses the language of nachos, they went down because they used to actually have the
step down.
They have a step down. They would have like a well where the chasim would stand. So the more used language of nachos kamei, he means he went down in front of Rabbah. Means he went to daven for the omid in the presence of Rabbah. V'omer, and he said the following phrase: Ato chastal kantzipur, you had mercy on the kantzipur. Ato chus v'rachem alin, you should also have mercy on us. Some Rabbah. He has a good way to present an argument. He knows how to convince the Kodesh Baruch Hu and appease him, saying if you have a you should have a us. It's a good title. I'm going to buy a mashaskin. It's a mission. It says not like that. You can't do this. Morris says Rabbi Naman Lechduda the Rabbi Yehuda the boy. Rabbi was saying it just to see if Rabbi would cop that this is raw. He was challenging Rabbi. You know, he wanted to test it. Okay. But it's very clear in the Mora that you cannot argue why Mora says that you can't say this, and the Mora gives one reason why you can't say this is because we have no right to define why Kadosh Baruch Hu does something. We have no reason why, no, we have no idea why Kadosh Baruch Hu decided to create this prohibition. Right? So that being said, the Rambam says, let's go back to the Ramban as he quotes the Rambam. He says, I'm telling you, the reason for it is because Rosh Hashanah has mercy on the pain of the mother. He says, Baltisma Lai, we're back on page Resh, in the Ramban is Resh Yud. Okay, so we're in the first paragraph, sixth line. Don't ask a question me from the Gemara and Brachas. Etc. That whole phrase over there, which means you can't say that because the Gemara says it's because the Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do things because of mercy. There are two opinions over there. Soros misha yirish ki ein tam la mitzvahs ela chavetz habari. There is an opinion over there which says, yeah, you can't give reasoning for mitzvahs. It's Hashem because Hashem wants. Why? Because. As they say in English, right? Why? So, yes, there's such an opinion over there. But, however, the other opinion could hold. The Mora didn't say that there was something intrinsically wrong with saying that that's the reason. The Mora says, because it seems like a Kadosh Baruch Hu is favoring one over the other, so we shouldn't discuss that. But it means the Rambam is learning. The Rabban is quoting the Rambam that the Rambam is learning that the Mora's two opinions what the problem is in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi Bar Zvida and Rabbi Yossi Bar Oven, they're arguing in this issue. May we say that there's a reason why Hashem gave him it because of mercy? One says yes, but we don't want to talk about that because it creates kina. Means, Enochanami, really, Kadosh Baruch Hu did prefer birds over fish, but don't talk about it, right? Which that sounds like that's what Rambam seems to be learning. And the Hashem had mercy on birds; it didn't really have that mercy on fish. The second man says, I don't know why Kadosh Baruch Hu did. I can't give any reasons for the mitzvahs. We're passing like that, Mandomer. Okay. So Rambam says, we have this machlokes in the Mora, whether you may assume a mitzvah has a reasoning or not. Then the questions, there's a medrash which says, plus it says a Mishle that whatever Kadosh Baruch Hu gave is Saruf. Saruf is the language of which we use when we smelt a metal to purify it. You're tzaruf it. So the purpose of the mitzvah is to purify the person, to put him through a smelting process. We know what the reasons are. Hashem gave them because he wants to challenge us. So he said, do this mitzvah. He said that mitzvah. He could have given a mitzvah to stand upside down for 5 hours. He didn't give that mitzvah. But in other words, there's no real benefit, the manager is saying, whether Kadosh Baruch Hu says you shef the neck or the from the back. But he wants you to... He gave the mitzvah doing shefting from the front of the neck with all of the details, because let's see how well you do. To challenge you to become better, to do that. That's what the Medrash says. The Rambam says, whoa. Says the Rambam says that. That's going to opinion that there's no reasoning. Mm-hmm. So once we have this, two opinions, so we can always, any problem you have, well, that's like other shita. That's going to make your life very convenient. The Ramban is going to have a better a way where he's actually going to answer some of the points. Okay. That was the Rambam declared that mitzvahs have a reasoning before whom, it makes a lot of sense. We know that besides, we could argue that the Rosh Hashanah says, listen, here's the deal. I want to tell you what to do. If you listen to me, you get a reward. Is there any benefits to you? Is it going to help you in some way? Is it going to change you in some way? No, not necessarily. But I want to give you a reward. So I got to give you something to do. So I gave you, I said, I would like you to get up in the morning and put black boxes in your body. Okay. What's it do for you? Nothing. But when you listen to me, you get reward. That could be the pshat. He says, no, it's logical that the Rosh Hashanah had a reason why he chose this, and there's some benefit to the person as he's doing it beyond the reward he'll get after 120 years. Kvar Mechazel, Mithnei Ma'alon Yiskalo, Tami Torah. So the more uses the why did Hashem reveal the reasons means there are reasons. If you're discussing why you don't reveal the reasons, you're assuming there are reasons. And he brings a few of them, a few Gemaras, which basically all point to the fact that there are reasons. So that makes a lot of sense. Okay. So at the end of that paragraph, so the page Reshut Aleph, five lines down, Hinei. Biru, the medrash after all these, it comes out like this. Shein menias tamei atara mimenu. The Bereshit did not have reasons and not give them. Elivorin b'sichleinu, but we are blinded to the point we cannot understand. Okay, I saw somebody say, it's analogous. Take a young child, and explain to him some esoteric concept. Explain to him what marriage means, the depth of what a marriage is. You can't explain it to him. I mean, there's no understanding of marriage? There is. It just, he doesn't have the mind. So the gap between a Kadosh Baruch Hu and our minds is greater than the gap between my mind and a four-year-old. And if we understand there's things I can't explain to the four-year-old, the things that Baruch Hu can't explain to us, not because of reasons, but... we find that even the most difficult one, which is Paraduma, the matter says Moshe Rabbeinu understood the Paraduma. We don't, but Moshe Rabbeinu did. Okay. So fine. So the concept of the Rambam says there are tamim, I'm with him. Next paragraph. Well, my Mormon Chazal, the Gadata that the Rambam quotes, with the Mishaskin Asoy, or the Rosham doesn't care the front or the back, it's just the Sarfaz Abrius, I think it's a whole different shot. Shuatz Alarmer. The point of the matter is something else. Sheena to Ellis, Mimitzes, like Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ba'atzim Yisalu. The Rosham is like, he watches the bird, the Rosham is like so pained by the birds. The Rosham says, do me a favor, don't bother the bird. So the goal over here is to make the Rosham feel better. Says, that's wrong. The Mor said, that's ridiculous. the Russian created a world, and he has the reason why he wants the world to function. He's not sitting there being pained, you know, he's sitting there pitying the poor bird. Mm-hmm. The Russian says, you know, I really feel bad for the animal if you do it from the back, front. So the point that matters is it's not for him. The Russian's purpose is to make us better. To protect us from danger, a munarua, or a false understanding, or a mita maguna, or bad characteristics, or at least can hanis him and he follows the Baruch Yisborach, Ladas Hashem, have reminders of what he did, so we'll learn to recognize him. That's what the Medrash means. The Russian wants to purify us. Shio kekesev sarif, to be like pure silver. Ket sarif kesev, en maseo beloi tam. He has a reason. He wants to remove all of the impurities. The sig is a pure impurity. So, therefore, I have nothing wrong with me saying that the purpose of giving me the mitzvah is to make me a better person. I should be a merciful person. If you come and say the Russian did it because he's merciful and he'd be pained about the bird and he felt bad about the bird, I don't know why what a Kodesh Baruch Hu feels about birds. Right? And that's why the Russian gave it, because the Russian said, you know, if you take my life, punch it, I'm going to have a hard day. So do me a favor, leave it alone. You can't say that. But to say that the Russian gave it, and that's something to the Ramban's pshat and the Rambam's pshat. The Rambam said, we're focusing on the mother of the bird is in pain. The Ramban says, the point is, we need to learn to be better people. Yes, by recognizing the pain of the mother. Fine, whatever that, but the point is, it's not the focus to help the bird. The focus is to help us. Okay? And then he quotes another version of the Medrash that when a more expansive version of the Medrash the Rambam quotes. Let's see the Lashon of the Medrash. Lashon HaGadol Atzam Huzkeru B'Yadeinu Parshas Zechariah. It's found in the Tanchuma. Now the Rishonim refer to, there is actually, we have a Medrash Tanchuma, we have a Medrash Yalam Deinu, it's a Midrashim. The Rishonim sometimes refer to the Tanchuma as Yalam Deinu. There's some overlapping between the two of them, so I'm not sure exactly why that's so, but I've seen that. It's not the first time I've seen that. B'chima ichmas loyla kadosh baruch hu ben shechet behema v'oichel or narcha v'oichel. What's the difference to kadosh baruch hu? You shech the animal or narcha? Narcha was that they would, instead of cutting it across, they cut it down. Right? You would take the knife and put it in right under the jaw and go all the way down the front of the neck. You kill the animal. What's the difference this way or that way? Klumato meilo, klumato maziko. Is there any benefit to the animal one way or the other? Not necessarily. Umaichmas loy ben oichel taharis oichel tameis. Im chachamta chachamta lachod. If you became smart, you benefit from it. Halo nitnu amitzel latzar v'zabrius. It's not to help a kodesh baruch hu. It's to make us better. Shenamar imas hashem amaris taharis. Venamar kalimas elakatzrufa lama shehim megin olechad. It should help you. Should protect you. So that's the point of the matter. This is much, much clearer. The point of the matter is the fear is that we will benefit from it. And before Shmikan, Shavu'ol Lomar Shein HaTo'el HaSei Lov Yisal. The point is that the Rishon doesn't benefit from it. Shisarach L'Orek and Mechushim in HaMenor. Don't think the Rishon commanded the Menor because he needs light. Shisarach L'Machol Karbonas V'Reach HaKataris K'nir Mei Pishtei. You might think the Rishon needs Karbonas. No. He doesn't need that. But rather, it's to help us be aware of Kadosh Baruch Hu, etc., etc. That's he finishes off that paragraph. I could go through the whole thing. Itself. Okay, so both the Rambam and the Ramban are very strong. There is a concept of that there are mitzvahs. There are time for the mitzvahs. I'm sorry, there's time for the mitzvahs. Some of them we will understand. Some of them we will not understand. But about it, there is definitely a time. And the Midrashim would seem to indicate that we're discussing there's no idea of Tom. It's all talking from a Kodesh Baruch Hu's direction. He's not getting any benefit. It's not to benefit him. It's to benefit us. He actually brings a Yerushalmi, which says it more explicitly. That's in the page Reish Beis. Shem Yerushalmi in the Dorm in Posel Adam B'Chvoid HaMokim the Dorm Shebein Adam Ben HaMokim. You know, is it? Can you? One of the ways you're matter, you say, if you realize that you know, let's say, it's b'chod of it. They say, listen, if you realize that people will say about your father that he has a son who makes someone in the dorm, when you made an eder, no. So if had you really thought about the insult to your father, you would not have made an eder. So the more it talks about, can you do the same idea by Kodesh Baruch Hu? Had you realized the insult to Kodesh Baruch Hu, you wouldn't have made an eder. Kavod HaMokim. V'shiva l'shem l'zos ezehu kavod ha'malkum. So what does that mean by kavod ha'malkum? So while the Russians insulted, he says, "Hainu cover the Malkum." That's cover the Malkum. Marshalan Hashem, Mama Shumah the Hani. The Russian is giving the mitzvah sukkah because he gets out something out of it. Now he's insulted. He wasn't one that was affected by it. You were. Kador im tzedaktem atitun loy mamir v'tiyach v'chatosam atifah by Rabbi Peshecha matasaloy. You can't affect him. Say, wow, I'm, you know, if I don't put on tefillin today, I'm really insulting Kadosh Baruch Hu. Wow, say, may we matter. You're not insulting Kadosh Baruch Hu, which is, doesn't bother me. You know, you have a problem yourself, but don't leave me out of the problem. And we find like this, and that's he quotes Sukkim along the lines, where the focus is always, it's better, the point is, it's beneficial for us. Last words of that on the page, or of the Ramban of the page. Skip down. The point of all of these psukim is l'toiv lonu v'loy lo yisala yisbara. It's good for us, not for him. Alakol mashav and the tivino shiu b'yersav tzufais umazukakes police sige machshavas rose minus mengunas. The Russian gave all these mitzvahs to make us better. So that's pshat in the medrash. Now, what about the Gemara over there? It says Russian is rachim and Israel exeris. She says that's the same idea. The point is not that Russia feels bad about it. The point is we shouldn't become cruel people. So we allow ourselves to indulge in shechting too much, mothers and children, etc. We will become cruel people, and that's not good for us. And that's how we understand it, etc. Okay. That's basically what we're going to do in the Ramban. The last part of it, he brings a Kabbalistic concept behind the mitzvah of Shulchan. Shulchan actually has a lot of. I'm not a big bucky in Kabbalah. That's being light, being gentle. But Shulchan seems to get a decent amount of focus. So we have a sefer that Rabbi Chaim and Akiva wrote. It's called Medrash Boy here. There's a secret over here. Why the mother, not the father? The law is if the father sitting on the nest, no problem. Like, you know, so why mother versus father? What?
A bird's a bird.
We one time actually, I remember the first time we did Shluch HaKain, the Russian actually sent the birds to us. So we lived, you know, our apartments, we had these window units of the air conditioner, so you have a little space between the air conditioner and the side of the window. And one day I noticed, like, a lot of, you know, so you put plastic there, like ants in the room, etc. I look over there and I see there's a nest with eggs, with a mother, sitting in my bedroom window. It's like, you know, like, merchants are here, do a shofakein, right?
Right, but it's certain birds, right?
So it has to be a kosher bird, and it has to be, well, so we call up, this is like in 1985, so we called the Ottoman Society, and we're standing on the phone in the bedroom, like, describing the bird to the guy in the Ottoman Society, and they said, yeah, that, you know, what it was, you know, it was a sparrow, you know, which is a kosher bird, and they said, well, it has to be, when did the father sit, when does the mother sit? So, I think in that one, actually, the father sits by day, and the father sits by night, and the mother sits by day, so it was daytime, so it was the mother, good, so we did the mitzvah again. We didn't tell the Ottoman Society why we're calling to ask them the question, because they probably would not have been very excited.
You don't take the eggs, or you just lift up the eggs, or...
So the loch is, preferably you should actually take them, but then many times people just become, and then the loch only applies to the eggs or hefker, so you have to be mafker them again, to give somebody else a chance to do the mitzvah. So why are we running to do this mitzvah? Like, you know, the pasuk was the following. Person comes and says, wow, eggs, I'm interested in eggs. Don't take the mother with the eggs, send the mother away and only take the eggs. That's pshat in the mitzvah. So the more chum says, I would think that maybe you should run around the mountains looking for nests. If it happens, there's no mitzvah to look for it. So why are we doing this? So we're doing this because of the desire. So the full Zohar has a long arichas about it, and the Zohar says that you send away the mother, and the mother comes back, and its children are missing. So it's very distraught. So it goes up to Kisei Kovah and says, where are my children? And the Russian says, you know, it's a good question, where are my children? and it's the meat of Rachmanis of Kadosh Baruch Hu on Klai Yisrael, and the Baruch Hu brings Klai Yisrael back from the Golas. That's the what the Zohar says behind the concept of Shulchan Kain. So he touches on it a little bit over here. El Shalat Shalach is aim bichvoid oisabino shenikras aim ha'olam. So one of the things which Kabbalah is abounds in is different names for similar things. So there's one of the names for the Shekhinah is actually aim. It's also referred to as bina. It has other names, etc. So Shalat Shalach over here is being used to the idea of be aware of the presence of the Shekhinah. And even if you cannot access the Shekhinah directly, Resabonim Tikach will take the Oisabonim Shigdela, that which the aim will produce. My new Shiva Yimeya Sukkus, Bahana Shiva Yimeya Shua. The lessons of the Bereshit is finding ways to insert his Shekhinah, his presence, into the world. One of them is the Sukkah. You're able to go into the Sukkah and feel the Bereshit's presence. It's called Sila de Menusa. You're in the shadow of the one who's Naman to come to us. So you have to be careful, even if you cannot directly access the Shekhinah, make sure that you take great care. That's how the Zohar understands the remez of the Psukim over here. So if you're going to be careful with this idea, it'll be tremendous. So I just there's a beautiful piece over here how he connects it into the world of Sukkot. Okay, so we saw the Gemara. Let's just talk to the Rambam quickly, and then I want to try and talk about this concept of the Tamamitz a little bit. Did I do this in the right order? No, I didn't. Okay. Tav Kuf Nun Tes, I put in that before Tav Kuf Samach. In general, I have to keep more. I have to be more focused on what I do next time. Okay. So this is the Rambam Mor Nevuchim. The Rambam Mor Nevuchim, it's divided into three chalakim. In the third chalak, he talks about Tamei Mitzvahs at length. So he introduces it in Perek Chavav. That he's, and he talks about this. There are two opinions in the Gemara. That's what he talks about. We'll see that in a second. That he says, I'm going to start giving you Tamei Mitzvahs. He starts giving explanations for the Mitzvahs. You can't kill the child in front of the mother. It's a tremendous pain for the animal. And the mother witnessing the loss of a child, it's true whether it's a human or whether it's an animal. It's not from the intelligent thought. It's based on the more emotional part. It only applies to Shorvaseh. Why not apply to if you happen to catch an ibex? What do you do? Well, chances are you're not catching ibexes too often, so that's not a problem. But you are shechting your shor and your seh regularly. So over here, the animal grows, but you know who's the mother, who's the child. Two ibex says, I don't know what. How do we know this is one connected to the other? It's not necessarily obvious. Fine. Was that time Gam came to Shulchan Kain? Kebetzim Asher Shochvu Ha'Eim. Go back to the previous page. Leim Abrechem Atichem Limam Al Roiv Enam Riyam Lachila. Once they're ready, the mother's sitting on them. They're not right for Lachila anyway. Yishishlach Ha'Eim Atelach Lo. You send the mother away. Lo Titzar Beroes Lachicha Zabonim. She won't see it, so she won't have that pain. Val Roiv Yasiba Lahaniach Hako. Generally, you're not going to just not going to learn anything. Getting the mother away is not very easy. Have you ever done the mitzvah? So there's opinions in halacha that it has to be. You have to actually physically send the mother away. I mean, you have to grab it and send it. Most scenarios, you will not be able to grab the mother. The mother will fly away before you're able to grab it. Pushing away with a stick, according to some opinions, is not the key of the mitzvah. In general, the person will assume anytime you're not mekayim the mitzvah, it's arba lechaim when it's aser. So either you do it right, but don't do it at all. Right. So
high risk.
Right, high risk over here. And then if don't do it all, it means like, you know, it's like either Gan Eden or Gehenna. It's not power, you know. So if you're not going to be able to, generally, most times, when the mother's sitting, you're not going to do anything. Because, like, it's very hard to get it right. Vimelo hatsaorim hanafshim chosatara leim bebehemus boifus kolshem they all them kula. The Rosham is worried about the tsar of an animal. We obviously have to be worried about the tsar of a human being. Lo tikshalai beramram harma kanti beyagirachem echol bechulu ki hu lefi achas mishteh deyas hashem zecharnum. It's one of the two opinions over there. Some of the asked me shechesh shein tam l'tara el rotzin levad. It's up to Hashem whatever he wants. V'naftim mishachem achar deyas shein. So that's what we quote. The Rosham says. There's two opinions. So he sort of says that on the next page. Just bracket up a little piece. Now, the Rambam says there are mitzvahs. There are the Tamei mitzvahs. There are lessons for the mitzvahs. There are messages. There are reasons for the mitzvahs, right? But many of the reasons for the mitzvahs, like the Rambam pointed out, so why is it either or, there only one order should be a problem. Why is it only, you know, why are there certain scenarios if the mother and the child are not together? The law is if you sell the child to one person, the mother to the other person, they cannot shecht even though they're not together. Like the tam doesn't seem to really fit, right? But the Rambam is very comfortable with that. On the other hand, the Rambam I want to give you an example over here. I'm not getting involved in the details, the Rambam says. He says, doesn't bother me that the details don't fit. I understand why the Russian gave karbonis. And that's a very good reason. You know, the Rambam says the Russian gave karbonis because we can't ask Klaus who grew up on a Vodazora in Mitzrayim. You can't ask them to leave, which Avodah Zarah was very much built on giving karbanos. You can't ask them to just totally drop karbanos and just sit there and contemplate God. They're not going to be able to do it. So that's what Rosh Hashanah gave karbanos, according to the Rambam. Aval yoyos a karban ve'echad kevis ve'echad ayol. Well, sometimes it's a sheep, and sometimes it's a ram. But yoyos mispar mispar miyuchad. Sometimes it's two animals, sometimes it's seven animals, sometimes it's 14 animals, 13 animals. Nah, ziyef shalos is le'ilakla. You can't give any reasons for that. Any person who tries to attempt to figure out details and what's the lesson and message of the details, what's the reason for the details, he's living in a long period of idiocy. He doesn't remove himself from being potentially damaged, making mistakes and making it worse. Because he makes it worse, he's distancing himself from Kadosh Baruch Hu, not getting closer. If you think that each of these details have a reason, same way saying that there's no reason at all for any of the mitzvah, saying every single detail has to fit, both are wrong. That's the Rambam Shita by Tamei Mitzvahs. So that's really interesting. So Rav Hirsch in his, you know, we know Hirsch spent a lot of time in discussing the symbolism of mitzvahs, that the message that it's giving us, the time of the mitzvah. So he actually has a separate essay, or a separate almost book, which was on the idea of symbolism in Jewish law, in the Torah. And it was printed as a separate sefer, and eventually when they reprinted the collected writings of Hirsch, volume 3 of the collected writings is all about symbolism. The whole volume was on symbolism. So he starts off with the idea of the introduction to the study of symbolism. And he points out that a symbol has to really fit all the details. If you wanted to say that the point of this mitzvah is to teach us this lesson, it's to give us some type of a message and some type of a reason, it has to fit. It's like any symbol that you give, right? The person says, you know, I'm going to get you. We don't know what the symbol means unless we know all the details. So, if you're looking at page 13, the meaning of a symbol is all the way to the last sentence of the page. It's about 8 lines up. The meaning of a symbol can therefore be discerned with any degree of reliability only if careful consideration is given to all the following pertinent factors: personal, historical, local contents. Context, words that accompany the institution of the symbol, associations with other factors, physical, social, and historical significance of the similar object, medical forming of the name of the object in line of its linguistic background. There's a lot of details you have to work out. You see, he repeats it again. A final prerequisite for arriving at an authentic explanation of the symbol is a careful analysis of the symbolic object or act in all its essential aspects. Interpretation of the theme of this method will be subjected to rigorous testing, whether the object is met all the criteria. The criteria of the following: essential features of the symbol, seen against the background of the personnel involved, local historical conditions, explanatory words, etc., etc. Even the most clever, ingenious explanation must be rejected as soon as it is found to be at variance with any one of these essential aspects of the symbol. And rehearse on any type of explanation that he will give as a symbol for a mitzvah, he will only say it if it fits every single detail of the mitzvah. And this is fascinating because Rav Hirsch's level of knowledge of the details of the mitzvah was significant. I once heard, I don't remember from whom, that Lutzker Rav, that was Naim Atara, wrote this, that you could see from Rav Hirsch's Pirish on Vayikra that there wasn't any rival in Terskanim that Rav Hirsch did not know. So the Lutzker Rav can say that because he knew the Rivet and Terskanim. I can't say that one way or the other. But that was it. I said, and he will quote them as he's working out the symbolism. Well, he'll quote Terskanim, he'll quote Gemara, he'll quote everything to make out that every single detail should make sense. If it doesn't make sense, he would discard it. And the Rav says, no, Adarav, Chas v'Shalom, that's ridiculous. But Dafka not. If you do that, you're Meshugana. Right? So now, at first glance, Rav Hirsch makes a lot of sense to us. Right? And the Rambam seems to be difficult to understand. So how do we understand the Rambam? So the Rishima Gifter used to always say when we talk about the idea of Tama Mitzvahs, because when you look, he used to have a Seder, he used to learn Sefer Achinuch, Menchus Chinuch, with the Sefer Achinuch on Fridays. And so you learn the Chinuch part, then you learn the Sefer Achinuch. So Chinuch many times talked about the Tama Mitzvahs, the reasons for Mitzvahs. Actually, the Chinuch, who the whole large part of the Sefer was giving some details, but basically to define the basic points of the mitzvah and give the time of the mitzvah. He writes an introduction. He wrote it
for his son shouldn't
run around during laning. He should read this instead. He should be bored. But the place where he gives his defense of why you're writing the time of mitzvah is actually the mitzvah Shluch HaKein. And this discussion of the Rambam, etc. He quotes that over here in the Chinuch on the topic of time of mitzvahs. He gives his defense why you're allowed to give time of mitzvahs. So when she was talking about the Div Tam Mitzvahs, he says, what is the word Tam translated as? There's two translations of the word Tam. Tam is flavor, and Tam is reason. So why is the word for reason flavor? It's the same word. Like, why is it? It's not coincidental. It's obvious there's a reason why that's so. She says, if you look at a food, nobody's going to argue that the value, the impact that the food does on you is due to the flavor. It's the nutrients, it's the carbohydrates, the fats, the proteins, it's the vitamins and the minerals, it's the water content. That's what actually, as you ingest food, that's how it affects you. What's the purpose of flavor? To get you to want to ingest it. It's not the, right? That's not the real item itself. It's a way to get you there. Right? You know, if all life would be like the astronauts back in the 60s, you know, the tubes. You know, breakfast. We're not going to eat breakfast. We're not going to eat lunch. We're going to starve to death. You know, whether we should or we shouldn't, that's what's going to happen. You know, right? So the person says, no problem. Steak tastes good. This tastes good. You want to eat it. But now that you eat it, the way it affects you has nothing to do with the flavor. So he says, that's what I did behind Tama Mitzvahs. When a person gave a mitzvah, I'm not stupid enough to come along and claim, I know why Kadosh Baruch Hu, what the mitzvah can affect, how it can affect me. The fact that it's going to affect me, the brush can make this action impact me positively in hundreds of ways, which I have no idea how they work. The same way I don't understand exactly how medicine affects me, but it works. I don't need to know how it works. A computer programmer does not need to understand how the program works to understand when you push a button, this whole printout prints out. I understand how it works, but it works. Right? As a matter of fact, the printout might print out halfway across the world. I don't even see the printout. I don't know what the printout looks like. But it still doesn't. Right? So I don't need to see the results to understand that the action is valuable. But would you please push the button over here? Why? Because you'll make $10 in it. Okay. Right? So I need the why to push the button. And that's all I need it for. So it comes out that the reason, the why, is the same thing as the flavor in the food. And that's why the word for reason and the word for flavor are the exact same word. So now, once that's true, so when I need to give you a time to the mitzvah, so do I need to work out every single detail? Or alternatively, as long as I can give you a general message that this mitzvah does, I'll be interested in wanting to get connection to that message. And do I need more than that to accomplish that? And if I don't need more than that to accomplish that, so going beyond that is probably trying to figure out if the human mind can fathom why Kadosh Baruch Hu wants something. So the Rambam says, that's ridiculous. In other words, yes, the Baruch Hashem gave Tami mitzvahs, and we have opinions that more, so there is time to mitzvahs, which means the Baruch Hashem gave us obvious reasons which we can relate to, therefore we want to get involved in doing this. This is a reminder that you took it on Mitzrayim. I like to remember about the Jesus time. It's a good idea to remember Jesus time. Okay, I'll do that. This is to help you to be a more gentle person. Good, I like that too. Really, the reality is that this mitzvah does many things besides helping you being gentle, and maybe, for all I know, that the main point is not being gentle. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you this medication, which impacts you in a way you have no idea what it is, and you'll find out after 120 years. Could be. I have no idea. If I'm stupid enough to believe I can fathom that, I'm an idiot. You can fathom the divine mind. But what I can say is, but the Russian understands that Rangel's not going to get up out of bed to do it unless, it sounds exciting. It's exciting. I'll make you gentle. I like being gentle. Okay, go do it, Now, if you say that, something's totally false, that's not fair either. So I think where the point of contention between Rav Hirsch and the Rambam is this point. You can't say something which is false. But everybody agrees that we haven't fathomed the reason for Kodesh Baruch Hu's mitzvahs. Rav Hirsch is not saying, because I sat and I analyzed every single detail, I know why Hashem gave the mitzvah. The best thing to say is, I know a lesson that Rav Hirsch wanted me to take out of this mitzvah. I have a right to believe that's what he wanted. If I take this message out, it probably was the message I was supposed to take out. The Ramchal is a fascinating thing. He talks about learning. He says you get stuck in a piece of Gemara. He says the Ramchal in Derech Hitzchayim, he says that Russia made the human mind, which came first. He says, in a certain sense, if we're supposed to learn Torah, we're supposed to fathom the divine mind as much as we can. That's our command. It's only fair if the Russia makes our mind fit. You give me a pygmy's brain to try and understand the theory of the relativity. It's not fair, right? If I tell you that your job in the world is to figure out the theory of relativity, I have to give you a brain which can do that. I give you a mind which thinks along that thought process that it'll fit. If my mind only thinks a certain way and the Torah thinks another way, what's supposed to happen? Yes, there is a gap. We have to overcome that gap by training our mind. But in general, he says the two things are made to fit. And when they don't fit, and you don't figure it out, he says that means there's a divine blockage right now, which you need to break through. That's what the Ramchal writes. And you do that by pushing to be zeichah to understand what the schools will allow you to break through that, the divine blockage, and through tefillah. And that's how you're zeichah to understand a piece of Gemara. That's a piece of Torah. So when nobody's arguing on the other end, you say, can the human mind fathom the divine? The answer is yes and no. We have a command to try and fathom the divine as much as we can. So what does it mean? The Russian gave me a mind. We can fathom the divine. So her says, that's my job. So as much as I can find it to be true to everything which is there, that's all part of the pattern of the package. The Rambam says, no, we don't have to do that. Once you understand that this is not the primary purpose of the reasoning behind the mitzvah, there are many multiple reasons way beyond that human being can understand. Getting stuck in the details is just going to make it worse. Because then you think that you have divined the real reason for something. And you, of course, have not done that. And you'll be marking yourself. You end up not connecting to the mitzvah properly. Because you'll then commit the mitzvah on your own terms. Which I think also lends itself to we have, in the world of Agadata, there are multiple, there's always multiple opinions. If in the world of Hilchasa you have multiple shitas, in the world of Agadata you have multiple shitas. Right? why did the Bereshit make the we have the Arba Minim? What do they represent? You know, so one measure says they represent the lips and the heart, and there's one measure says they represent, you know, the different animals. One represents the things in the Kisei Kovid. Like which one is it? The answer is if any one of them, the Bereshit made in a way which my logic would tell me that this is a connection. There's a lesson here. The Bereshit wanted me to derive that lesson. Is that the lesson? That's very much, you can't say that. And if you say that, Rama says, you have no power to say that. That's like the ant saying, you know, I understand Rabbi Reingold's mind. You know, so I tell the ant, you know, get a life. You know, you don't understand my mind. You know, so the gap between myself and the Kodesh Baruch and the gap between an ant and Eli Reingold, to me, Kodesh Baruch was a bigger gap than between an ant and Eli Reingold. So that's a fascinating Nakuda. I just think that, you know, Rav Hirsch, in all of his work, was very detail oriented. That the symbol that he, which means the lesson that's supposed to give us. That being said, I just want to tell you, Rav Hirsch actually has a different explanation for the mitzvah of Shiluchei Kein. He says that the mitzvah of Shiluchei Kein is, it says, if it's because of the not being cruel, so then why are you allowed to take anything? You know, the whole day of taking food, you know, animal food, to just be vegetarian. Why you're not a shech? You know, says that doesn't make sense to me. Again, like here we go, you know, the details don't fit. He says the mitzvah over here is to teach us to respect the concept of motherhood. We have to respect to the concept of motherhood, and therefore in our lives we will understand the value that the Bereshit created in such a concept as motherhood. It's part of the nature of the Bria, and therefore in that context that to take the child in front of the mother means you're not respecting the concept of the motherhood. So the only way you can do it is not to have the mother present, but to have the mother present and take the child, you are not respecting the concept. So you've lost the message of the value the person created, the beautiful thing called motherhood. That's how he understands the mitzvah. So that's his angle, and then he explains how it fits all the details, you know, etc. Why it's only the mother versus the father, why it's, you know, etc. So, but he's very into that, and some of his explanations are going to go in this. I'll just give you one example. The mitzvah, we get close to the Yom Tovim. So we talked about the symbolism of the different kabbonis of the Musaf. So he says, if you look at an aisle is usually the leader of the flock, and the kavosim, the sheep, well, the younger ones, kevos is under the age of 1 year, will follow it. He says, so on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Shemini Atzeres, there's one aisle. Which means there's Shealim, and there's one aisle. Says the idea of the aisle is that there's only one direction. We all of the 7 days of the week, which means basically that's the world we live in. The world is a world of seven. All of that gets in behind this one leader, one lev to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So on the Yom Neroyim, that's the way it is. On the Yom Tovim, there are multiple functions that we have to have. We have to have the way we deal with the world, the way we deal with vis-a-vis our daytime activity and our Torah activity. So there are Shnei Eilim, but he builds up all the details. He says a fascinating thing. He says, what's the difference between the poor on the Sukkot? So it's 13, and then it's 12, and it's 11. So what's it? He says, it's not 13, it's 6 and 7. He says, what's the five between Umos Arlam and Klai Yisrael is the world a world of 6 or a world of 7? 6 represents three-dimensional world, has 6 sides. What's 7? Is you take the three-dimensional world and you inject the one of Kodesh Baruch Hu in the middle. There's 6 days of a week, and then there's the Shabbos, you're injecting Kodesh Baruch Hu's presence. 7 represents when the Bereshit's presence is there in the world. The Umos Arlam is saying, it's a world of 6. Klai Yisrael is saying it's a world of 7. In the beginning, there's 2 opinions. By the end of Sukkot, there's only 7 left. The poor is the one that has the power, which powers through and is able to accomplish in the world and build and develop, etc. And there's 2 sheets, how you build and develop and accomplish the world, it says. There's a sheet of 7, which is Klai Yisrael, and a sheet of 6. And Sukkot represents the conflict between Klai Yisrael and Umos Olam. We get to the point that only the true way to really, only really build the world, the poor, which can plow and develop, and it represents the building and developing the world, is only true if it's a world of 7, not a world of 6. That's where the world of 6 slowly but surely crumbles, disintegrates. That's what it stands at the day of 7 and 6.
So it's interesting. I saw in the Sefer Shalom, this week's parasha. So he says a similar idea, but a little bit different. He says that we see that the Torah refers to Shabbos in two different ways. One way the Torah refers to Shabbos is Yom HaShvi, it's the seventh day. And the second way is Shabbos. So he said, Umos HaOlam also have a seventh day. Only Klal Yisrael has a Shabbos. Why? Because Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, takes the Jewish people and he puts them in a separate spiritual place. That's not Yom HaShvi. Yom HaShvi is a sixth day. It's just like the rest of the days. Shabbos is only the Klal Yisrael.
So but the Rambam says specifically they should be getting involved in numbers. You know, don't do that. And it first comes with this beautiful explanation, the message behind the numbers, you know. So which one's right? So they, I mean,
a little bit.
You know, the point is, the bottom line is that if there's a lesson there which we can't derive and it seems to make sense, I'll pee the seichel, you know, we train our minds to think in a targetical way. We have a right to say that's a lesson the Bereshim wants us to figure out. But say that's the reason why the Bereshim gave 13 karbanos and sukkahs. I'm not going to say that. And that's what Rambam says. You're very close. Once you come up with such a beautiful pshat, you're very close to saying that. I'd rather you stay away because you don't really know why Kodesh Baruch Hu does this. Okay.